So the first step for the guys is to get in shape. Get on a treadmill 3 days a week. Run. Do cyber, swim. Do play racquetball. Do some type of cardio where you can outlast, because the average guy's tired in 30, 40 seconds fighting. I don't care who you are. You're gonna, if you don't train to fight, professional fighters that train to fight get tired in a round. It happens. It's a different kind of, it's a different kind of cardio. So if you can outlast a person, that's your first step. Now, if you add some skill technique to that, imagine the two together. You can subdue a guy. We can save guys from getting choked to death or a knee on his head or hit with a stick or tased. You know what I mean?
Hey, guys, check out the 2023 Street Cop Conference, April 23rd through the 28th, Gaylord Convention Center. It's going to be the event of the year. Keynote speakers include Rob O'Neill, the guy who killed Bin Laden, Kyle Carpenter, the youngest living Medal of Honor recipient, Navy SEAL Jason Redmond, Fox News host Tommy Lahren, Marine Corps Special Forces and Leadership Coach Cody Alford, Sheriff Wayne Ivey, Sheriff David Clark, and Sheriff Mark Lamb. It's going to be one hell of an event. And on top of that, we have all of our instructors and additional instructors from other companies going to be at the event, giving you everything they know for you to have a successful career and get the results you want to get in the field as a police officer. On top of attending the event, you'll get face-to-face time with every instructor attending the event, and all the keynote speakers will spend time with you. We got special events all week, giveaways, nightlife. It's going to be really, really worth your time, energy, and effort. I promise you, you will not regret it for a second. To register for the conference, check out streetcop.com, click conference, and everything you need will be there on the homepage. If you are looking for a room, just click book a room. The block has been sold out at the Gaylord Opryland Convention Center, but there are many hotels nearby within a walking distance of the event. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. We will see you there.
You training to be a street cop?
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Training. My name is Dennis Bonino. I have with me today two fucking legends in the fucking game of mixed martial arts, BJJ, UFC. I want to see the fucking right thing, but my kids go to his school. The first one is Dante Rivera, and the second one is Frankie Edgar. Both fucking very impressive resumes, and I think people pretty much know the names that you hear on this podcast, and they've decided to come in here because they all have tons of people who they train with and care about that are in law enforcement, and it was a no-brainer for them to show up and show the love for the law enforcement community, and a lot of us are correlated, intertwined, but I appreciate you guys being here, and this is going to be three fucking Jersey guys, and and it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be, Dante's here, it's going to be interesting. That's done.
I only came here because I need two tickets erased, so I'm kidding.
Dude, so Dante, we'll start with you. Why don't you give us some of your history with the fighting world?
I started training in the late 90s, and my first fight was 2000. And then, 99 or 2000, I think. And then I had a couple, I had three fights, ended up winning three fights, and then trained for a year under another guy, and then I got switched over. I ended up going with Ricardo Almeida, I think about 2001. I've been with him ever since. So I've been with him over 20 years, so.
You didn't grow up in Jersey, though, right?
I mean, I came to Jersey when I was about 15, 16. I grew up in New York. Well, pretty much I've been in New Jersey longer, so. But I guess my childhood years were in New York, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I came here, I was about 15, 16. Went back for a couple of years in my 20s to New York when I came back.
What part of New York?
The Bronx.
Oh, no shit, dude. Yeah. What was it like growing up there?
It's New York, yeah.
It's fucking New York. Crazy, right?
It's kind of a culture shock. They took me out of New York, out of the city, and dropped me off in Jackson, New Jersey. Which
the middle of the woods.
Yeah, the middle of the woods, which there was dirt roads. There was no stores. So I was like, I was bound to get in trouble for a little bit. So I got used to it. But, I settled in, so it was good. Everything's better than New York, so.
When did you start getting into fighting? How old were you before you started competing?
I think I didn't even start training anything. I never had no wrestling or no background or anything. I was just, I was never a bad kid, but I was kind of like a tough kid,
Yeah.
I was a rough kid. I didn't take no crap from nobody, so I got in fights here and there, I was kind of one of those kids. Never a bad kid, but just, I was quick to throw my hands. Somebody was like, why don't you try fighting, And I was just like, it's always in the back of my mind. And I was always a big fan of the early UFCs, like UFC 1 and 2. I remember watching them and getting the DVDs. Oh, that was the DVDs then. Given the
VHSs?
Yeah, the VHS tapes. And he can't wait to make fun of my age, this guy.
What do you mean? 8-tracks more.
So I got the VHS, and I played a lot of basketball growing up. So I remember one time I was playing basketball in halftime. I'm going to get set to eat. And in the same building where it was, they had a little gym there. A guy by the name of Eddie Rowland. The guy was, you know, wrestling around. I looked and I said, what do you guys do? He's like, oh, you ever watch the UFC? We do jiu-jitsu, we hear boxing. I said, so why don't you come try? I said, yeah, I would love to come try. Come the next day. Now, mind you, back then I was about 240, 235. This guy was about 170. I come in, he goes, you want to wrestle around? And my head, I was like, I'm going to slam this guy in his head. He must have choked me 90 times in like 5 minutes. I was like, and I was hooked. I was like a gym rat after that. So
that was it, huh?
Yeah, that was it. I was hooked after that.
How old were you then?
I got to say, I don't know. How old was I in 99? How old was I? I don't know.
Well, how old are you now?
48.
So 24 years ago, yeah, how old were you?
I don't fucking know. Put me on the
24.
24, there you go.
Told you, man, it's not his throwing suit.
It's not my...
So you didn't get into this, really, until you're 24 years old.
Yeah, that's why, you know, a lot of people are like...
Even really a thing, though, back then, if you think about it, right?
Yeah. I had guys, you know, we got our friend over there on the couch, Chris Liguori, and he was like, we were one of the guys fighting. I was 24, he was 11, fighting four grown men. Yeah, it wasn't nothing. That's why a lot of people, some people tell me they're a little impressed with my career because, I mean, I made it to a higher level and I never had, you know, I started late and I never had no wrestling or no type of martial art training, you know? Or really no, you know, sport. Like some guys come from football too and I just, you know, just put my head down. I was a gym rat. I trained and I got good and I made a good career out of it, you know?
What kind of discipline did it take to show up in the gym every day? Was it a combination of like the passion and the discipline or?
To tell you the truth, I'm be honest, it wasn't that much discipline because I loved it. I'm more like, I have like an obsessive compulsive personality. Yeah. So if I like something, I'm doing it 100%, that's it. And I was there. I would come in at 11 o'clock in the morning and I would roll and I would wait. Someone would come in, I would roll, I would train. I would just be there all day and train. I never went home. I would go to 11, go home at 8 o'clock at night, you know? And I got a little different when I became professional. I was training and, you know, body wears down and you do it for a couple of years. Then the discipline comes into factor, you know? Because then when it becomes a job, it becomes a little bit more harder, you know?
Yeah.
Because you gotta do things the correct way, you know? You can't just, I'm here, you know? Sort of like a basketball player. I could go play pickup ball, basketball, if I fail, play 3 hours one day or one or half an hour another day. When you're a professional fighter, it's got to be a certain amount of training at all times, you know? So,
dude, tell me the story about, because then I told you when I first met you that I was friends with Tim Kennedy.
Yeah.
Tell me about that one. That was fucking funny when you told me that. Because so you fought Tim Kennedy, yeah.
So here's a funny story. I think at the time, I'm in the IFL with Henzo Gracie and the Pitbulls. My record, I think, is 10-1. And I got this guy from Russia. They got this Russian team. And he's a kickboxer. So I'm training for a kickboxer. And at that point, you know, most of my wins are by submission. I have good jiu-jitsu. I'm like, okay, great. The guy, the day before the fight, he falls off the bus. Apparently, I'm going to do what he did, the quotation signs. Says he falls off the bus and hurts his knee. So he can't fight. So they find me 24 hours notice, this guy, Tim Kennedy. Nobody's ever heard of him. All his fights are the Army combatives. He's got a great record, too. I don't know what it was, maybe 12-1 or something like that. So I'm like, I said, what's he good at? He's a jiu-jitsu guy. I'm like, fucking great. Bring him in. My Penzo and Ricardo, like, great, you know? So he bring this guy for me in 24 hours notice. So the first round, I'm like, yeah, I'm going back and forth, whatever. You know, we end up on the ground, and on the ground, he's all over me. I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? You know, who the fuck is this guy? Never, because it was small back then. If whoever was good at jiu-jitsu, you knew who was good at jiu-jitsu, you knew who was good at striking. It's not like today in the UFC, you got a guy in Wisconsin, somebody never heard of, and he's fucking 35-0. You know, it's not like that now. You knew who everybody was, you know? So I'm like, who the fuck? I go back to the corner, and I go, Henzo. I go, man, this fucking guy's good. What do I do? Henzo's like, we're fucked, man. This guy's good. I don't know what to do. I'm like, shit. I don't know what to have. So, I mean, we ended up back on the ground, and it was just stuff, man. He ended up breaking my nose, and then fucking I didn't know what the hell was going on. And I was fucking humbled. Because at that point, I was like, whoever hit the ground when I'm beating, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was just like, but he was a gentleman, you know, my nose was smashed in 20 pieces, like, helped me up, hugged me, like, you couldn't meet a more classy guy.
Oh, dude, he's a great dude, bro.
If I was going to lose to anybody, I'd lose to that guy, because I said, you know what? Whoever talks about this guy, fucking, this is the type of guy that I'm drinking a coffee at my house and he shoots you from 7,000 mile away at Wawa, on the roof of Wawa. So I'm happy, you know. If I'm going to lose to anybody, let me lose to that guy, you know.
Dude, he's a good dude, bro. We know him well, and he's a fucking great guy.
I just had him on my podcast last week. Yeah, he's awesome, man.
Yeah, Tim's a good dude.
Yeah.
All right, Frank. I think it's your turn. You got a lot to talk about, I'm sure.
I started wrestling when I was in seventh grade. That's how I kind of got into athletics, I guess you could say. Wrestling in high school, college, after college. I knew I wanted to try MMA. It's like the first season Ultimate Fighter was on Spike at the time. And I just graduated. I actually. My goal was to be an All-American that year. I lost in triple overtime, so I was, like, you know, pretty defeated after that. Felt like a retired athlete at 23 years old, you know. And there was no, at that moment back then, there was no, like, moving on to anything else. You know, like, MMA just wasn't really as popular as it was. Like I said, the Ultimate Fighter season one was on. I'm seeing these guys do it. I seen Josh Koscheck was on that show, and he wrestled in the same conference I did in college. So I'm like, oh, man, this is an option. So I was like, I'm going to definitely give this a shot. So I graduated college. I found a place local by me to train. Actually, Kurt Pellegrino, he was had him on my podcast last night. I knew he had a gym. He was a local Jersey Shore kid. I know him from wrestling. So I was like, pop into school. He's like, I'm leaving. I'm moving to Florida in a week. He's like, but you could train this week. So I, you know, started training that week. And then a new guy came in to take his gym over. This guy named Rob Guarino. Started Rhino Fight Team. I just ended up staying there. And I had my first fight, I believe, like 4 weeks after. In like underground, it was like New York Underground, no rules. Yeah, I headbutted the dude and everything. I broke my face, and not from headbutting him, but I broke my face. I ate a knee.
Imagine Frankie on top of you headbutting you.
Yeah, it was no rules. There was no rules. There was no weigh-in. It was one 15-minute round. Just go.
Holy shit.
I was wearing gloves that I was wearing for like a month. They were like still wet from training in them. You know what I mean? It was wild. And in that process, I met Dante Chris over there, that's how I ended up. Dante was always saying, hey, you need to come to Ricardo's. You need to come to Ricardo's. And I ended up finally doing that. And then, you know, obviously training with these guys, getting with the Henzo Gracie team and everything. And, I had about 16-year career in the UFC. Just recently retired. And that's about it, yeah.
What was your record in the UFC?
Geez, I don't even know, man. 24, 10, 11, something like that, and one.
Yeah. How many times did you take the belt?
I won the belt. I'm a three-time champ. I won the belt, defended it three times.
So with that comes like a lot of attention, right? What's that like?
You know, I mean, I'm definitely not looking for attention. I'm not one of those guys. So I kind of, even when people give me compliments, I'm not like the type of guy that's fishing for compliments. So it makes me feel a little uncomfortable at times. You know, I'm not an attention seeker, but I noticed, you know, I've been in the UFC for 16 years now, and, you know, you become a public figure. And I noticed throughout my career, it's like after every fight, you get noticed a little bit more. And then obviously the sport went from being on Spike to Fox to now it's on ESPN. It's just, you know, much more mainstream. So now you're getting noticed everywhere. And now, you know, I take it in stride. I appreciate it. I always show love. You're nice to me, I'll be nice back. I'm not too, I don't get too caught up in it, I guess you could say.
That's fucking cool.
Frankie is one of the most humble guys I've ever met. You know, he's my friend, and I hate to give him compliments, but he's one of the most. People meet him and say, they always tell me, say he's one of the most humble guys I've ever met. You would never think he was a champion, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I can attest that he don't like me. I like, if you want to write compliments down and put them in my pocket, I'll take all compliments at all times. So.
Well, Ricardo was here, and I asked him about it. He started bringing you up, and he's just. Yeah, you're the world to him. He fucking loves you, dude.
He's an amazing human being, Ricardo. We're lucky to. I was lucky to just how everything fell together. I mean, they say things happen for a reason. They definitely do. I got to believe that, you know.
I said to him, "Did you notice anything about him when he first came in?" He goes, "I knew. I just fucking knew." He said he actually asked everybody your first time you were there, like, "What are you trying to do?" And you said, "I want to be a champion."
Yeah.
And he's like that. He's like that dude's just on a fucking. He's just. We all look at him and know that he's just a different kind of fighter. Something different than everybody else is. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. I remember, you know, going, Ricardo has, you know, if you get a new student at Ricardo's, they have to sit you down and interview and stuff. Yep. Me and Chris got interviewed together. And like, what do you want to do? I'm going to be a UFC champ. I'm like, And he said later on, he's like, well, when you said that, I was a little like, damn, like, well, that's how I've always been. You know, I started wrestling seventh grade, wrestling kind of late in today's terms, I guess, a little bit, even when I started. So, you know, starting seventh grade, I think my first year I won like 5 matches.
Shit.
Yeah. And then,
you had like a natural thing to it, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I just like he said, I got obsessed with it. I just dived all the way in, you know. And by eighth grade year, I got a lot better. And by my freshman year, I made a varsity team, you know. And I remember walking in my wrestling room at Thomas Reese. There's, you know, all the state champs are on the wall. And I remember looking up and be like, I set a high goal. I wanted to be a 2-time state champ. I didn't achieve those goals, but I always, since the beginning, always, you know, set high goals. I feel like that's what you have to do. It's kind of hold yourself accountable.
Yeah, that's fucking cool. And now you're... Both are, I guess, post-retirement. I don't want to sound like I don't know everything about you, but transition into, like, opening a school. What made you want to do a school, Dante?
To be honest, I love training. So I said, what career? I said, I put all this time and effort into fighting. I'm banged up. I said, my last fight was, I was 41 years old in my last fight still. And I was like, I mean, I got to get to the point, I got to stop eventually. And I said, I would be training anyway. Why not open a school? And I was already cornering guys and helping guys and teaching. I taught at Ricardo's for a lot of years. And I enjoyed teaching. So I said, you know, I built this thing. It's almost like in my head as like going to college, getting a degree and not doing nothing with it, you know? Right. Now it's almost like sometimes I say, you know, I was meant to be a fighter. That was a path. But now I'm like, maybe I was just a fighter to become a coach. Maybe that was the path, you know, because I feel like I'm a great coach, you know. And it comes from, you know, I have to give all the credit to Ricardo because he wasn't just a coach to me. Like, I did a lot of stupid shit. And he stuck by me and he made sure I became a man, like the man I was supposed to be. And that's what an instructor does. That's the difference, you know. Like, I got kids that I coach now that I got to call them. I got to get them out of trouble. I got to make sure I see them on. Now these guys, they put everything on video, Snapchat. Mm. So I could spy on them. I said, you got a fight coming up. What are you in the club? Get home. Like, I'm on their back. Now, you got a coach. I see some coaches. I ain't seen no names. I seen some videos. About, oh, well, I'm out of the gym. I punch out. Don't. One famous black belt said that, you know. And I don't agree with that. You punch out. Like, what kind of instructor are you? I got guys, I hate to bring up that. I got guys that call me middle of the night, like, oh, my wife cheated on me or this. Or, thanks for jiu-jitsu, I would have committed suicide. Like, that's your job as an instructor. I don't just teach you on the mats. Like, I got to make you, that's the job, that's the role I took on being an instructor. I got to make you a better person, you know? And that's, like, these guys that own schools, they're like, oh, I got 30 students. Yeah, you got 30 students because you don't care about your students. I know everybody's name. I know every parent. I talk to everybody. And I make sure I give an interest to everybody. Everybody can have my attention at all times if they need it, you know? And that's what you sign up for when you open a school, you know? But I almost feel like I became a fighter so I could become the coach that I am. Because I love coaching. I love seeing these guys. And I can't fight no more. I always say I got one more fight left in me, you know? And then I train, and I'm like, the fuck, who am I kidding, huh? Jiu-jitsu I could do all day. The day that I go on the wall and go with these young kids, and, you know, I got an eagle still in there, you know, and I'm the main prize for these guys. They take me down, they're like, you know? So I'm going hard, and then if it ain't jiu-jitsu, if I'm doing anything other than that, sparring, boxing, or wrestling, I'm out for three days, I'm sore, you know? And I got to come to terms with it. I'm getting to the age where my body can't do. When I was 30 years old, I could be out all night and then train all morning like a tank. It didn't bother me. Now I do that, you guys would be visiting me with an IV in me, you know? So so now I live vicariously through these guys. They fight and they win, they represent my name, and it's my teaching that they're winning with. So, you know, I give a good analogy in my class. You know, I go with white belts, and if they say, well, what if you get submitted? If I get submitted by one of my white belts, I'm ecstatic. Because it's not easy to submit me. It's not. Sorry, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I've been doing jiu-jitsu almost every day for a long time. It's not easy to catch me. If you're my student and you catch me, I'm doing something right. Period. I don't get mad. You know, now if I get caught with the same thing over and over again, that's a problem. But everybody's gonna get caught. If one of my students that I train catches something, I'm doing a good job because it's not easy to catch me, you know, if they're doing the correct thing. So
when you say stupid shit, what kind of stupid shit were you doing? Can you talk about it?
You know, just dumb stuff.
If you don't want to talk about it, we don't got to talk about it. There's a statute of limitations on those things.
Not following that, you know, not following directions and give me stuff to do, you know.
Yeah.
Not following a rule, you know? Stupid things, and he was always there, you know? And other people are like, oh, why do you put up with that? And he's like, you know, I'm gonna make this guy, you know, what he is now. I never got to the level Frankie got, you know, but I had a very respectable career, you know, had titles in other organizations, at least four or five of them, you know? And I had a respectable career, you know? I was a respected fighter. That was good enough for me, you know? Did I want to become a UFC champion? Sure, I would have, but not everybody, you know? Not everybody can do that, you know? It takes a special person to do that. That's why you see the attention Frankie gets. You talk about a guy who became a champion, it wasn't even his right fucking weight class. Should have been, to be honest, Frankie should have been fighting at 35. And he's beating guys. People don't realize, I would fight at 185, but by the time I fought, I was 215, 220. You know, I fought my last two fights at 170. By the time I got to the cage, it was 215. He was weighing at 155, maybe being 160. He was 20 pounds less than these guys. Look at his fights with Gray Maynard. I was on Ultimate Fighter. Gray Maynard was on when he was there helping coach. He was my size. It's a big fight. These are heavy guys. So to that, you got to think like, you know, wow, you know, that's hard enough already. Imagine that, you know. So
tired now. The podcast. What made you want to do a podcast?
What made me get into it?
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Liguori. He got me listening to Rogan, so I started a podcast, and then it's just another avenue to get out there, you know,
put
yourself out there. And my partner is, my co-host rather, is Roger Matthews from Jersey Shore fame.
Oh, yeah. That's cool,
and,
dude.
He's just a buddy of mine. I'd be doing it in my guest studio.
You guys
all
grew up together? Is that what it is?
No, not really. He's from Maine originally. He's a lot older than me, too. Nah, he's a little bit older. He's 47. Well, no, he's not. So, honestly, it's not like, you know, it's not really the biggest, it's not like I did it to make money or anything. It's just good to get on the mic. It's good for more, gives you more reps for stuff like this. I met some really interesting people in the process. I got some good opportunities through it. I actually been in a movie now.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm it's definitely a cool thing to do. I look forward to it, you know, one day a week. We had Kurt Pellegrino on last night, you know, I've said Dante's been in there. We have people from all over that, you know, we get some Zoom guests. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of easy, Dante. Dante's low-hanging fruit.
What else are you doing in the retirement scene? You training more, coaching?
Yeah, I'm helping guys out, you know. I'll definitely be in this sport forever, you know. My kids wrestle, so I'm in the wrestle. I'm really, you know, heavily involved with that. I'm actually trying to do kind of a little bit what Dante's doing as well. Open up a space in Toms River soon, you know, open up a gym.
And, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
You guys sharing the trade secrets, the do's and don'ts, all that shit. It's nice to have that the community of people to be able to depend on.
I have, it's crazy how, you know, being, because of Ricardo, I could bounce ideas off Tom, Dante, Ricardo, you know, all these guys, Nick. So yeah, there's plenty of people to learn from, you know, and learn from their mistakes.
If you look at a successful instructor, some people, what's a successful instructor? Look at Ricardo's students. Tom DeBlas, me, Nick Catone, Frankie Edgar, you got a UFC champion, and you got Pete McHugh, Steve Bongiorno. You got six of the biggest schools in New Jersey or in the country, all from him. That are his black belts. Like, all with successful schools. Like, that's got to test for something, you know? Like, look what this guy's creating, you know?
Yeah.
That's spreading jiu-jitsu. His job, I remember him talking, like, his job was to spread jiu-jitsu, like proper jiu-jitsu, you know? Now, you got so many schools now, they're handing out black belts like it's hotcakes. And then they come visit schools. I had some guys, you know, some guys visit, and like, oh, what? My guys are blue belts whooping on these black. And they're like, oh, what belt are you? It's like, blue belt. It's like, what? I was like, why is that a black? Why? Because he's not ready to be a black belt yet. Because it's done the right way, you know? That's why. And look at the lineage he's creating. Like, look at the schools and look at the black belts. Look at all the jiu-jitsu that's spread from the guys that he taught. I mean, I hope to be like that. Like, that's what I want. I want to emulate that. I want 10 students with schools, places, you know? That's the goal. We spread jiu-jitsu, our way of jiu-jitsu, you know, our traditional way. You got these guys, you know, he's here, these guys, no-gi guys. Oh, they train in the pajamas like, excuse me, can I curse on you?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
You're a fucking moron for saying that. I want to, you know, I state to myself, I want to smack the shit. Like, you you're killing the tradition of what created everything. It's a tradition. It's a tradition. Not for nothing, I think Gi Jiu-Jitsu makes all your Jiu-Jitsu better, no Gi and all that. But you got to talk shit about the tradition of what you got you. You probably started in the Gi. Oh, if you don't like something, keep it to yourself. That's what I say. Mm. It's a tradition, and it was created in that sense. Who are you to say, oh, this is that, or make fun of it, especially if you practice it, you know? These guys, I don't know. It's younger generation, new generation out there, just... They don't have respect for things. They don't know the proper way to do things. And then they wonder why they open schools and they fail, or their students fail, or it fizzles out. Because you don't do things the right way. Do things the way they're supposed to be. Like, you don't change it. You don't change the tradition of something. Like, you go to, like, China or Japan, and you see traditional karate or kung fu schools, I guarantee you they're not vying away or steering away from the tradition of that martial art. You know, these guys, you know, they want to listen to that. Yeah, things evolve. Things always evolve. There's always a new move. They got to be a student in jiu-jitsu, because jiu-jitsu is one of the only things I see that there's a new move every other month. And it's ever evolving. And that you take into consideration. But that has nothing to do with the tradition of the martial art. And these guys lose respect for it, a lack of respect for it. You know?
If somebody was looking for a school and new to this game, even for their kids or whatever it may be. I mean, Rich sold me on you guys. Right? He's like, you got to come. Dante's good with the kids. I'm like, yeah. Whatever, we'll go. You know, because we're right in the middle. We could have went to Robbinsville. We could have came to you. But Rich was there. He's like, I'll set it up. No big deal. But if somebody's new and looking for a school for their kids, picking a certain martial art for their kids, what are some things that you could tell them? Like, is it, listen, BJJ is the way to go to start. Here's some things you got to check off. And, this is a question for you as well, Frankie. I mean, obviously, you guys are both experts in the field. What are some things that people could look for? Maybe even some red flags to avoid.
This is the main thing I'm going to tell you. And I stand firmly by this, okay? Nowadays, everybody better learn something, because shit is crazy right now.
Yeah.
All right? Two, everybody's too happy. Oh, I'm going to teach my kid a box. Why? So you can't punch somebody in the face, break his nose, and you're sued for everything? Jiu-jitsu is a gentle. Look online, look how many people are subdued, mounted, and held without hurting them, okay? It's a way where you could control somebody. If you have to hurt them, worst case scenario, you could put them in a choke. You choke somebody unconscious, they wake up, there's no harm done. It may sound, oh my God, you need to choke them unconscious. I see people get choked unconscious on a mat, they wake up, they're laughing. That's it. It's not, it's way different than getting punched in the jaw and getting your jaw broke. And now people are so happy. You know, nowadays you can't say anything. God forbid I say the wrong thing. There'll be people with picket signs in front of my school in fucking 2 hours, you know? So I gotta watch what I say now, because now everybody's so sensitive, you know? But the reality of it is, and for people to be like, unfortunately, and it's not like I'm bragging about it because it's unfortunate, I've been in a ton of street fights, probably 10 times more than the average person, because that's how I grew up. And every fight ends up grappling, tussling. I don't care how good your hands are. You could be a professional boxer. You fight a guy, chances are he's going to end up grabbing. You're going to end up in a tussle on the ground. So do you all want to trade blows and end up breaking something or get hurt? Or I see guys, how many times you hear a story, a guy punches somebody, falls back, hits his head, and dies. And then you're in jail.
That's it, right?
Yeah. I could take you down easily, mount you. Look up Matt Serra, had an incident. We all know Matt Serra had an incident. He was in a store. He mounted a guy, held him down till the cops came. He couldn't move. That's what jiu-jitsu teaches you, immobilizes you. And I'm going to tell you the difference between other martial arts. You could bring any boxer in here. And any one of these guys in the background could close their eyes, you get a street fight, and he could be all accurate, and you can close your eyes and swing as hard as you can. If you get lucky and land in the right spot, you're knocking him out. It could happen. It's not impossible, all right? Because a boxer can pinpoint, if I box Frankie straight up with straight boxing, he's going to move out the way, it's going to be hard to hit him. But if Frankie boxes a guy who doesn't know what he's doing and he doesn't know where the punches are coming from, it's going to get touched because he doesn't even know where the punches are coming from. It's hard to create, to fight off those angles because he doesn't know. Now, there's a chance you might get lucky, you hit me, I get knocked out. If I take you down and you don't know jiu-jitsu, there's no chance of you getting up without getting choked. There's no. The discrepancy is completely different. If you never trained, you never wrestle, you never do jiu-jitsu, and I take you down and hold you in side control, or I take your back, there's no chance of you getting up without you getting submitted. You're just not getting back up. The discrepancy is completely different. There's no lucky, oh, I luckily choked you unconscious. No. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you're doing. That's it. So the discrepancy in skill level is completely different, you know?
When you watch these videos about these, we're going to turn it to law enforcement a little bit and see these cops. like they look fucking ridiculous. They can't fight nobody. They're pulling out sticks. They're falling down while they're swinging the sticks. What do you think about as a professional fighter when you look at some shit like that? Frank, I'll let you answer that one. Like, and how could that be corrected, you know?
Oh, I mean, I'll do self-defense seminars. And I always start, I'm like, first of all, self-defense seminars, they're all BS, right? It's all BS. Like, unless you do this and train it all the time, you're not going to apply it in a real life situation, right? And I always tell people, guys, what's the best form of self-defense? Everyone's like, oh, I don't know, punch him, kick him in the groin. I'm like, running. Running's the best form of self-defense. And I always look around the room. I'm like, so if you guys can't run, maybe that's the first thing you need to worry about. All right. So then you go to our police. Not
who
all
can't
of them.
Run. Who can't
Some
run?
Some of them can't run. That's right. The first problem.
Well, you can't run in general, in theory, because right. You're the guy getting called to come fix the shit.
Right. But I'm right. saying, like, but you can't physically run. You know what I mean? They can't physically run. I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then, so if you can't physically run, how the hell are you going to subdue someone and get their arms behind their back? You know, I think that the physical fitness needs to have a standard in that world.
Unfortunately, the problem is it's so fucked up on so many levels that, yeah, we'd like to say that, but then you have no candidates. Because in New Jersey, cops make a decent living. Mm. But, dude, there's agencies right now. It's 2023 that the top pay for cops is like $38,000 a year.
Like New York City, right?
Well, New York makes, they probably do $85,000-$90,000 a year. Mm. It takes probably 7 years to get to that, some shit like that. But you start going to places like Alabama, the South especially, parts of Florida, North Carolina is one of those broke states. You know, you're asking for this quality candidate, but you're offering nothing in return. It's like what you pay for. If you think about like a defense attorney, if you've ever been in any kind of litigation versus a public defender,
right?
That's inherently the problem. Nobody's looking to invest in these guys. So fortunately enough, a lot of these guys are motivating girls. We're lucky that there's a real why behind law enforcement. Because if there wasn't, you would have nobody. So that purpose brings them in, and they come do this job because they have pride in it. They do it for fucking nothing because it means something to them. Mm-hmm. The money's not the variable. So those guys and girls who consider this a profession.
But those are guys that are actually going out and getting the training.
Sure they are.
Doing the extra stuff.
Yeah. Sure they are. Yeah. And they're the dude, listen, I'm telling you, it's like anything else. They're the fabric that keeps it together. You know, sometimes I remember working here, and like our day shift was for a long time where I worked. Was old people, very, very old guys. And you'd hear shit. I mean, dude, doesn't just pop off in the afternoon at 4 o'clock when the hard charges come on till fucking 3 a.m. There's things going on during the day. And I'm like, oh my God, somebody's gonna break a fucking hip. These guys are like 63 in patrol. Wow. They're fucking 300 pounds.
And that's the problem. You guys get judged by the bottom of the barrel. You don't get judged by the average guy.
Well, you know then you get, well, not even, or the, sometimes, you know, now we're seeing a lot of guys who are good at BJJ in the field. Mm. There was one guy in Jersey recently. He's actually on Instagram. His name is Johnny Guns. And it was a viral video. Guy comes out of Wawa. He's disobeying commands. John flipped him like in 4 seconds, had him cuffed. And he wrote, right away, he writes to me. And he's like, hey, man, that was me in that video. I know we've met before. Bro, I train all the time. And I'm like, you see the one of the girl in Chicago? Now, she's a tiny little girl, but the dude starts to fight with her. She wraps him up in his fucking shirt and starts fucking tussling with this dude. I'd be like, and then I've seen other people, like, they go for the taser. They're trying to, like, stick the taser on their leg. They have no idea what they're doing.
Right.
See, and jiu-jitsu, these cops in jiu-jitsu is going to save other people's lives.
I know.
You don't want to shoot them.
Your own life. How about that?
Yeah.
I just think it just gives you confidence, too, right? Yeah. I mean, I can imagine being a cop not knowing what the hell they could do, how to subdue this guy, how to protect themselves. The only option is your gun. I mean, but if you could take this guy down, you know, restrain him, that's not even an option.
That's a good point, because I said that. I said, people, oh, he shot him. I said, let me explain something to you. I said, people forget that these cops are human beings. They're regular people.
Right.
You probably got the majority of cops never been in a street fight in their fucking life.
It's crazy, dude.
And you go into the hood.
Wow, 90% of people haven't been in a street fight.
Yeah. And they go into the hood, and this guy's fighting every day. He pulls a gun out of panic. You're just like, how do you expect, oh, I can't believe he did that. You got one guy, I see one people. I remember a video back in the day, a guy went to arrest a guy. He pulls off and drags the officer. Officer rolls, gets up, shoots through the window, and kills him. Oh, I can't believe that. You can't believe it. He fucking dragged him 30 feet. But God forbid, you know what I mean? Like, these guys are regular guys. They're fucking, they're nervous in a situation where you got to draw your gun. You're nervous.
There's no confidence.
Things happen. And he's right with that too, the confidence. Like, I go anywhere. People are like, oh, you're gonna get out the car. Yeah, I don't care. What am I gonna get beat up? I'm not getting beat up. It doesn't mean I'm a tough guy. I don't think I'm a tough guy. Oh, I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I don't think you shouldn't expect to beat me up if you don't train. How do you expect to beat up a guy who trains every day to fight? I don't expect, I can cook. I don't expect to cook better than fucking Emerald.
Right.
He cooks, he's a chef. How do you expect to be good? Name one thing the average guy, this guy, can I talk to him?
Frankie, yeah.
How many street fights you got in the past 5 years? Zero. So how do you expect to be good at something that you might do maybe once if you're lucky in a year or once every 3 years?
But isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
That's that is across the board. Men think they could handle themselves.
I can fight. But how do you expect to be good?
They've never been in a fight in their life.
So now if you ask him, hey, are you good at basketball? I've only played basketball 3 times in my life. Hell no. They'll say hell no to that. Hey, how good are you at hockey? I've only played hockey 6 times in my life.
Yes, Frank, hockey. He's a hockey player. That's good. Okay. That's a good topic, yeah.
But you understand, like, if you ask him anything else that they haven't done consistently, they're not good at. But,
I could throw a hard punch, man. Yeah. I don't know. I got a good chin.
Now, you might be tough. I know guys who are tough that you got to punch them tough. You could be tough and be not scared and not be a punk, but there's a difference between knowing. How do you expect to know how to fight if you don't train to fight? You don't know how to fight. Sorry, all the guys listening. You don't know how to fight.
Yeah,
and it's nothing, no shame of it. It's not what you do. You know, I don't expect to know how to put wires together like a fucking electrician. I think I've snipped one wire in my life. Does that make me an electrician? No. So you're not a fighter. You know what I mean? And there's no shame in it. And it doesn't mean you're any less of a man. I hang around a guy. I have friends who couldn't beat a 12-year-old girl up. Doesn't mean I don't respect them any less. I respect a man for the man that he is, not because he could beat people up. And with the cops, I think the number one thing they have to do before anything is get in shape. Because if you have cardio, so I'll give you an example. Let's say we get a guy who was a professional boxer in the 70s, 80s, but hasn't trained in 20 years, and now he gains 70 pounds. He can barely go up a flight of steps. But I got a guy like you who's not a trained fighter, but you're in phenomenal shape. Let's say you run marathons. Who's going to win that fight? The trained fighter or the guy who could just cover up, let him throw 15 punches and not
exhaust himself?
And every fighter in here will tell you, exhaustion makes you second guess everything. I've been in a corner, and he's cornered me some of my fights. I've been in a corner where I remember one fight, I fought a guy, Dan Kramer, and it was around the piece. And I was like, I'm fucking tired. He yelled at me. I remember his exact words. Grab your fucking nuts. Shut up. Grab your nuts. Go out there and fucking win. And I fucking dug deep the last minute of the fight, right? Mm-hmm. I fucking just went balls to wall, started throwing a bunch of punches, ended up winning a decision. You know what I mean? But he had to remind me. Yeah, it was a six flash. Mm-hmm. He had to remind me, like, you're not tired. Go out there. And I was second guessing myself. I was so tired. Now, me and I'm a trained athlete, professional athlete, and I was that tired. So imagine a guy who does zero cardio, scared to death, the heart rate pumps through your chest, the adrenaline, you can't even move your arms.
You're stuck.
So the first step for the guys is to get in shape. Get on a treadmill 3 days a week. Run. Play racquetball. Do some type of cardio where you can outlast, because the average guy's tired in 30, 40 seconds fighting. I don't care who you are. If you don't train to fight, professional fighters that train to fight get tired in a round. It happens. It's a different kind of cardio. So if you can outlast a person, that's your first step. Now, if you add some skill technique to that, imagine the two together. You can subdue a guy. We can save guys from getting choked to death or a knee on his head or hit with a stick or tased. You know what I mean?
Hey, guys, if you're enjoying the Street Cop Podcast, do us a favor and give us a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. Tell a friend. We don't charge anything for the episodes. We appreciate your support. Check us out on any social platform by putting into the search bar Street Cop Training. Give us a follow. We have a lot of free content coming out every single day that you might not catch here on the podcast, and it's important for you to be able to do your job more professionally, and we also entertain you as well. Probably. I mean, just to that, we had a shooting with my agency, and as you're talking, I remember going to I went to a 3 police academy. So my third one, I was at this police academy, and we had like 13 or 14 recruits from my agency that went as recruits. Remember the end of the class, a couple guys from the class were like, hey, you and Brian can fight. And I'm like, I thought we did terrible. Like, we're fucking, they have us boxing, right? And this is 2004, 2005, right? So they have us boxing. And I'm like, we wouldn't want to mess with you guys. I'm like, I don't even think I thought we did terrible, dude. Like, I thought we looked like some real shit. Like, I know what fighters look like, you know? But they also heard, I'll never forget these words, like, you guys are fucked watching our other classmates. You had some of these guys and even girls that we were hired with. We had one guy, and I'm going to correlate this. He was boxing, and if somebody swung at him, he would cover his head, turn, and go down and crouch. Right? And this is an adult 24-year-old man.
Wow.
Who's never been in a fight in his life, doesn't know what a punch feels like. His arms, when you grab his arms, are like jello. And later on, you know, never took it seriously. None of these guys ever continued on with trying to train and get better. That same guy ends up getting in a situation, having to fight somebody, the guy escaping, because he was a cop. They called him and said, take, the only reason he got away with a lot, because he was like 6'3", so people were like, kind with that, the uniform, they were like, oh, he's tall, maybe. Right. But he didn't look intimidating, he just was tall. I think that played for him quite a few times.
Right.
And the guy escaped, and he ended up having to fucking take the guy's life because he escaped. Wow. And then fucking pulled the knife, grabbed the fucking hostage. And, you know, I didn't want to make, the guy got all these awards and all this. I mean, he still had to do what he had to do, but, like, I said to people, and I wasn't criticizing, I go, this didn't even have to get there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. It could have been done right here, but this guy doesn't lift weights, do anything, exercise. He doesn't know how to fight,
right.
And he got set with a situation that he didn't think was ever going to happen.
How could a cop not think that's going to happen, right? That's crazy.
It's fucking nuts that these cops, I don't know why people think it's not going to happen to you. You know, I just don't understand it. I just can't, the mentality, I teach, you know, all over the country, and you guys don't know too much about me, but I'm flying out tomorrow to Mississippi. I got to go teach a whole shitload of cops in Mississippi and Biloxi at a casino, or wherever the fuck they have me teaching.
What do you teach them?
Well, dude, so us, we go into, I don't do anything physical because I'm not a fighter. So, I mean, I don't literally sit there and go, we go over tactics, the law. Crazy as it sounds, 99% of cops have no idea what the law says.
Dude. What are those people that come and like test cops?
Called the First Amendment auditor.
Auditor.
I just did a video on TikTok. It's going to be going up. It'll go viral. And it's just how to deal with an auditor. Dude, there's not too much to know, but there's more to know than what they already get. So we were at some event the other night. Some guy comes over. He goes, so what do you do? And I'm like, well, I teach cops. The guy was like an annoying guy. He's like, what do you mean you teach cops? Don't they go to an academy? Our academies are, dude, like they're so bad. I can't even, like they're horrendous. Wow. Most of them are. So, you know, you got these guys getting sent out to the field. Not only do they not have the ability to fight people and control them physically, they don't even know what they can do, when they can do it, how they can do it. These guys are breaking rules. They're not even intending to do it.
Right.
And people say, you can't come into my house. And they're like, no, we can. Because you saw 16 other guys do it before him. And now somebody actually knows the law. Like, guys, you can't come through the fucking front door without my consent or a warrant. There's no exigencies. So then what we try to do is like, hey, here's the rules. But what's good about the rules is, well, you might go in some sense like, oh, we can't. And then the other side is, oh, we can? Holy shit. I didn't know we could do that. I'm like, yeah, use that fucking around. You're basically working out with you're trying to do biceps, but you're fucking moving your toes up and down. Right? There's just a better way to do all this stuff, a constitutional way. And it's no different than understanding how to employ physical force. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of tied back to what the law says we can do. But yeah, dude, so that's what I do. And I go around, I see these people in these classrooms. This guy's like 400 pounds. You know, and then the excuses come out. Well, I work double shifts. I can't find an option. You say whatever you want. I don't know how the fuck you're in this job, right?
Yeah, no way.
This job. You want to go do that and fucking go into a sedentary setting of an office, but somebody's going to fucking try to take your life, and you're sitting here acting like it's not going to happen. So it's the same thing, dude, you know? That's kind of what I teach. I teach inspiration, thought, different perspective, how to catch bad guys, how to employ case law to things that people don't know. I mean, dude, it's wild. I would consider that my class, out of all the classes we have here, which is the one that this company is built on, we have over 45 instructors in the field now, the best at a bit. Like, you guys are like the best, right? That's who I have traveling the country. So imagine if I was taking you guys and going, hey, do me a favor, go out and teach these guys what you know. Mm. We didn't take some dude who's a gray belt or whatever it might be and say, go teach people on our behalf, make money and trick them. We find, you know, some guy asked me yesterday, when are we going to get something like this? And I go, when I find the guy that can do something like that, it's easy for me to go, yeah, we're going to go teach this, but I don't have the guy yet, right? Hey, do you want to do this kind of training? Yeah, I'd love to do that kind of training. We got a guy who just did our first canine class yesterday. Josh Brainard, our canine guy, he like raised dogs as a kid. He had like 21 German Shepherds growing up.
We got a big canine guy at our school.
What is he, a handler?
No, he drives around with the dog. He pulls up. He's a sheriff with the dog.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that. But like, Brainard, like, literally, like, trains, I think it is, I think he dissects dogs in his downtime, right? The guy is a fucking dog fanatic. So he's out there now recorrecting. A lot of canine handlers don't know what they're doing. That's no those bullshit.
They don't know what they're doing.
No, dude, it's fucking nuts.
They're like,
fuck you
they're
up,
weapons.
Dude.
He says he pulls the dog out. It's the biggest, I almost think it's half fucking brontosaurus. It was the biggest dog ever.
Yeah, they're
seen.
Big, dude.
He's licking me. He's like, he puts him back in.
Belgian Malinois. They're the smaller ones, but they're more. You can't even get a Belgian Malinois as a first dog because they're so nuts.
Oh, really?
That's like a train. That's an experienced handler's dog.
He puts his dog back in the car. He goes, want to see something? He goes, what? He said one more. Forgot the word. He said a word. The dog looked like drooling, getting through the window because the word he said. And I said, that's the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. Because the dog was so nice 2 seconds ago. Yeah.
You know, those dogs, when they fucking bite, dude, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, you talk about people get hundreds of stitches from one bite.
Yeah.
Those dogs will fucking tear you up. Yeah, I don't care what you're going to try to do. Those dogs are fucking, they get one piece of you. You're not paying attention.
Oh, I love people. I had an argument with a guy like a year ago. He's like, oh, I would choke the dog. You would not choke a dog unconscious. A dog will bite your fucking arm. You're not, he's like, talking about a pit bull. And a pit bull attacked him. Oh, would you? Guillotine him. Well, you're an idiot. First of all, if a dog's chasing me,
it doesn't have it wiggle its head out.
Not choking
no
a dog. I used to have a pit bull. You have a pit bull. Yeah. I play around. When they want to bite you, they're biting the shit out of you. Wait, that's it.
They fucking do.
I'm lucky he likes me. That's it.
Yeah, dude. But
Not like his own. You want to hear a good story? He fucking invites me over his house. This is years ago. He used to have his dog. It's 10, 12 years ago. Long story short, they're all in the garage hanging out having drinks. They're like, where the fuck's Dante? I'm pinned on the couch. Dog fucking sat right there, staring at me. The head was like this big. I wouldn't move for 2 hours. And they just left me on the couch. Nobody forgot about it.
Dogs.
And it's like a little grumbling growl. I was like, I'm not moving. This guy's like eyeing me up, sizing me up for like 2 hours. They're like, why don't you come outside? I said, why don't you come outside? Because this fucking guy has me pinned here. I can't move.
Well, back to the thing about like training. How do you pick a school? What do you look for? What's some tips you can give people? You know, what should cops look for?
I just did New Jersey Leo at my school. We had like 60 cops there. And
those guys came here. They did our first in studio podcast.
But bunch of good guys. I was happy to help them. A lot of tough guys. I was starting to catch on. Guys, I think every cop should train jiu-jitsu. And I'm not just saying that because I train jiu-jitsu.
Right.
They should train jiu-jitsu because it's the best scenario where they're not getting in trouble. You're a cop. It's not like the 80s where you could beat a guy with a stick or punch him and get away with it.
But now you can't do a rear naked choke, right? That's against the rules.
I don't, not in New Jersey. I mean, uh-huh. I don't quote me on it, but that was a New York City.
Out.
That was only a New York City policy.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that was something that was put into the DOJ at the federal level. I mean, dude, I mean,
that's much more safe and.
As bad as it sounds, choking a guy conscious, that's very safe because the guy picks his leg, wakes up, and a guy gets choked unconscious, he's done. He don't want to resist no more. I promise.
You guys know Jay Wadsworth? Wadsworth is basically the, and Jay's a good guy. He's out of upstate New York, and he has like a trained program. I think he fought UFC too. I think he won a title or something. I don't know. Jay's a pretty tough dude. And but he's been designing programs for police specifically. Some things you got to account for, like wearing the duty belt, wearing a fucking vest, doing different kind of fucking moves to try to get past the gun to turn over. Mm. And Jay's an expert in use of force. So he testifies and explains why it's so much more useful to employ a choke.
Oh, right.
You know?
That makes sense.
So it's still being, I think, some policies and some specific agencies say you can't, New York for sure.
I think it's the best bet for them. Guys,
it's wild, right? The answer is the thing they're trying to take away from everybody.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts.
Now, if you know jiu-jitsu, if you don't know what you're doing and you're choking somebody, then you might kill them because you're choking for a long part of time.
I don't know. That's tough, bro. That's tough. You got to choke someone for a minute. You choke someone for a minute.
You see some of these videos? Some of these guys get choked for 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes straight. You choke somebody for 2 minutes straight, you're dying. If I choke you, if I put you in a radio control for
2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes.
Over 1 minute, you're going to have brain damage. If you're unconscious and I have it over 1 minute. Yeah, some of these guys have been.
But don't you feel like.
Videos, some of these guys
you're
going to
feel him
going
limp, dude.
But I'm saying, like, that's your complete failure of training. That's exactly. You know more than anybody that training equals results. When you don't train, there are no results. You're going to have catastrophic results. Right. That's just how it goes. Yeah.
It's a crapshoot.
If you look at everything, I mean, I'm going to take it from, this is my space. I know law enforcement training. I watch videos. We were watching something in Atlantic City the other day. I was in Atlantic City. I was watching something on TV as I was packing up to go. I'm watching this girl. She's on like one of these Northwood Law, like she's like a game warden. I mean, she's fucking terrible, right? Every cop show you watch, they're fucking terrible. Not as a human being. She was polite. She's professional. She knew what she was doing. But nobody ever trained her. Don't do that. That's how people get killed. And I always tell these guys, go and watch videos for 3 hours. Do yourself a favor. Go and watch videos for 3 hours one night of cops getting killed in the line of duty. Right? Not because it makes you feel good. It's terrible to watch. I can't even watch them. But you're going to pick up on everything they did wrong.
Right.
And you can watch the ones where guys survived and what they did right. So you gotta look at what, just like watching a fight. What did he do right? What did he do wrong? What should he have done? You know, I hear yelling at, do it this way, do it that way. We're the same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're telling people, like, and then there's critics, of course. I'm sure anything you guys put out will offer for advice, even though you're experts in the field. You always gonna have critics. I don't agree with what he says about that. You don't have to. It's just, it's our job to at least put the perspective out there. And now I make my TikTok videos like this, and we're big on TikTok. I don't care what you think. You can put anything you want in the comments.
Right.
It'd be a sin for me not to share this because it might make a difference to somebody. Mm-hmm. So this is why we're saying it. So, dude, it's all training. It's the same thing. And this is a big part of it. You know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's really ties big into the law enforcement community. And, you know, you said you had like 30 or 60 guys at your program. Yeah. There's 33,000 cops in the state.
Right.
You know, where is everybody? They tried to implement it at the academy. I understand that it's not doing great yet. Our attorney general changed it. Now it's instead of, dude, check this out. I mean, listen, 40 hours at a police academy. This is what you're doing. Your friend holds a bag, and you take your stick out, and you swing it at the bag and yell, get back. This is what they do for like 40 hours. And then they wonder why these cops come out and have no idea what they're doing. And it's fucking wild, dude. And, you know, people always say, oh, we got to make it better. You can all continue to claim that you need to make it better. We're making it better.
I don't even work with my girlfriend.
Right.
The stick.
Yeah, I don't even, cops carry sticks?
We don't even know why. They have to. Sometimes, like mandatory policies, they have to. We don't even know why. Yeah. Nobody ever used one ever.
Right.
I get the president from one of these stick companies calls me, vice president. He's like, I don't understand what your problem is with this stick. And I said, you don't have to ask me. Literally, I show you the conversation. I go into the comments on Instagram and read the 1,000 comments of people saying how useless this fucking thing is.
Yeah.
Don't get mad. I'm not the guy saying your thing's a piece of shit.
Everyone is.
Yeah. It's not me, dude. We're sick of it. You're setting cops out to fail.
Hmm.
The minute you walk out of that police academy, you are set up for complete failure because you're expected to know something and you don't know shit.
Hmm.
And that's the truth. I bet the three of them. You don't know dick about what you're supposed to do. Nobody's even talked to. How about this? You go to an academy for 5, 4 months, 6 months. They don't tell you once how to catch one. Not one time. I've never met anybody yet. They don't tell you once how to catch a bad guy. What does it look like when somebody's engaged in criminal activity before, during, or after? Nobody knows what case law is, and it's the most important thing about surrounding the Fourth Amendment and home intrusions and violation of rights. They don't even know what it. These guys, nobody even knows it.
I did that course with Rich Bruno. I found out you can make citizens arrests. A citizen can arrest somebody.
No way, really?
Yes. He's like, don't do it. You'd be a stupid. Like, why would you do that?
You do a citizen.
But he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, there's actually tomorrow. A law. You can make a citizen arrest.
I'm fucking arresting somebody tomorrow.
I got called on New Year's. My neighbor Bob calls me. He goes, hey, you busy? I wasn't drinking on New Year's. And I said, no. He goes, I'm here with my friend. He says, in New Jersey, if somebody's coming into your house, you can't shoot them.
No.
And I went,
no.
Could you imagine?
Is that true?
No, it's not true. No.
Oh, I could shoot him?
Yeah. So I said, Bob, let's stop before I start citing laws. He goes, well, if anybody knows it, I told my neighbor Dennis knows it. I go, well, yeah, Bob, I teach the law. I probably.
So let me ask you that law. If somebody breaks in my house, I could shoot.
And that's not true. It's not true. I thought you'd have to go into like your.
Nah, there's no duty to retreat. Yeah. No. Let's talk about a few things that I can give you guys to help protect some of your shit. One, take your key fobs. Don't put them where they typically are found.
Mm.
Any jewelry?
I could barely find my keys every day, so I know they're not fucking finding them.
But if you put them, like, dude, I got to tell you, you would never find my keys to my cars. You wouldn't be able to find the keys in a million. You'd have to spend a day in my house trying to figure out where these fucking things are. It's not going to happen. I have them in Faraday bags and safes. You're never going to get to it.
That's all they want, though, right?
Right now, the car, you get the keys. So you got to think about that. Where you're going up, you know, it's easy for us to go, oh, we're running to the driveway. I'm trained with a gun. You guys are trained with your hands, and you know some shooting now. Right, but like, what if that dude turns around and gets a lucky shot on you?
Yeah.
Drops you, like, your life's over what? a fucking your wallet in the car.
Right.
You know, you're gonna ask for more problems than you need to have later on. I think everybody doesn't think about what's it gonna be afterwards.
Right.
Just like with this fucking training for law enforcement. How do you want your hurt? You know, you want your hurt beforehand of going to the gym, you get a little boo-boo here and there, controlled setting. What do you want to hurt later when, and I talked about this earlier, when you're facing these legal issues or you lost your life. But the legal issues of how come you used deadly force when it almost wasn't authorized and now we're putting you on trial for it?
Yeah.
Because your fucking lazy ass didn't want to get to a gym and train Brazilian jiu-jitsu because you'd rather fucking drink 16 shots last night at a Kenny Chesney concert or a fucking Luke Bryan concert, and these guys don't get it. There's a real responsibility with putting that rather than just acting appropriately or behaving appropriately, there's a responsibility that you got to know the fuck you're doing. Mm. And if you don't, there's some real significant repercussions, especially in today's day and age. It's fucked up, right? And, you know, you say these things, people get their feelings hurt, like you said earlier. I see a lot of stuff. People don't like me. And you've experienced this, both of you guys. Anytime you're doing something that's good, there's always people who are not going to like what you're doing. And they're just sitting there waiting for that low-hanging fruit to grab it and say, see, I fucking told you this guy was a fucking asshole. Good, I'm glad that happened to him.
Yeah, because people are miserable. Misery loves company. They can't. I look at these comments. I stay off social media. If I didn't have my school, I wouldn't be on there. I'm not like a big, I post maybe once every 3 weeks or a month, you know, something from the school like today or something that I'm doing, right? But I watch these negative. Like, I see this guy doing impressions the other day. I'll give you an example. He does 6 impressions. Beautiful. Funny. Does The Rock, Ron Reynolds, everybody, right? Will Smith, perfect. Right? All the comics is like, they're pretty good, but that didn't, The Rock needs some work. Shut the fuck up. Like, just don't say nothing. Why are you going to be so negative? The Rock needs some work. What the fuck are you doing? But he's working Walmart. Shut up.
There's that saying. Like anybody,
So much hate, like always, like miserable. I see people, the internet made people okay with being disrespectful. I'm not that guy. If you disrespect me on the internet, and I say it a lot, hope you don't see me, because I'm approaching you wherever the fuck you are. I am. I just have, I'm a man. I treat everybody with respect. People meet me, they're like, you're the nicest guy in the world. You're polite. I'm the guy that I go to a store, and I'm friends with the whole store by the time I leave. But if you talk shit like a man, I'm gonna approach you. I'm gonna approach you wherever you are, and I'm gonna be like, well, say what you said to my face. That's it. It made people It made people very comfortable being disrespectful.
Nobody says anything to my face. Yeah, and I'm not even you or you. I mean, I hear my chief doesn't like you, this, that, and the other. And you know, like then I run into the chief somewhere. Hey, everything you're doing's great. I can't believe you know, our guys really like you. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm telling you, nobody. I had one guy one time reach out to me and sent me a DM, and then actually took the phone call. So I respect my friend Danny, and I'm real good friends with him now. He just misunderstood what I was saying, but dude, it's fucking. You just know that. You know that no matter what, somebody's got something to say about Frankie Edgar, right?
It's the nature of what we do. It's the nature of this world, you know.
I could pick it up on Facebook about 4 or 5 months ago. You piece of shit motherfucker, says to me. You piece of shit motherfucker. You robbed this guy of his victory. Throw one of my fights to Ultimate Fighter. Said, all you did was wrestle him to the ground to hold him there. You should kill you, this and that. I wrote back and said, the fight was in 2007. It was 2023. I said, thanks for still watching my fight to keep it relevant. You have a good day. It was a guy from Thailand. And he goes, thanks for replying.
Yeah, that's the one.
They just wanted to reply. You know what I mean? I'm just like, my fight was fucking 2007. What the fuck? Leave me alone. You know what I mean? But I thought it was funny. I was like, I appreciate you still watching my fights all these years later, you know? And he was like, thanks for the reply. Like, they just want to get a rise out of you.
Well, you have nobody, you know, you'll never have somebody doing better than you criticizing you. You know what I'm saying? Think about it, right?
Yeah, right.
I tell people it's okay to disagree. We're human beings. I don't agree with it, but just because I disagree with you means I have to badmouth you. I'm not supposed to agree with everything you agree with. We're humans. We have different outlooks. We have different brains. But because I disagree with you, doesn't mean I have the right to talk shit about you. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. You know what I mean?
How many fucking cop friends do you have, you think?
Oh.
It's ridiculous,
yeah,
right?
A lot. So many. So many, yeah.
You got in your family.
Yeah, my cousins, obviously. I mean, our club coach is a cop. You know, he's Vinny Petalino. He's a, I believe he's just going to be a lieutenant now in Tom's River. So, yeah. A lot of friends.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's like almost like goes hand in hand, the fucking two worlds.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think because I'm probably all at some level cut from the same cloth. Some kind of need to be like adrenaline, pushing the limits, seeing where you can go.
And just the unity, the teamness of it all, yeah. You know?
All similar personalities.
Right.
Because these guys, they adore you guys. Like, they love it. You know, not just because of who you are, it's because of who you are. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I think it's how we all come together in some sense. And
yeah, I have a lot of officers at my school. They're the best guys. They love it, you know? They love it. Then I have, you know, they get mad. Like, one of the officers, like, well, he gets mad that some other officers don't come train. And he says, it's ego. They don't want to get beat up on the mat by a regular guy or a guy they could be pulling over, and they said they have to get over that. They have to just get over there and train.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about one last message for everybody before we fucking wrap this shit up? What do you want to tell the law enforcement community? And it could be something as simple as like, you know, just we know that you're out there. We're here for you. Some shit, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, I have the utmost respect for what you guys do. It's. I actually thought about being a cop at one moment. I tried out Edison and Seaside Park, and obviously, you know, turned a different path. But what you guys do is it's kind of selfless. I mean, you guys get paid well, but you know, you guys put yourself in danger's way.
Oh yeah.
And you know, for us, if you really think of it, you know, and especially in today's world right now, like I imagine people wanting to be cops that's dropping more and more,
crazy. Which
just makes your job that much harder. You know, and yeah, hats off to you guys. So
you gotta respect any guy who has a job where you could lose your life at any time. That respect for that. Also, I tell guys, I give a huge discount for law enforcement at my school. If you're an officer, my school's in Freehold. Come train, man. If you're in the area, come train. I have a lot of officers there. They love it, and I think it's the best thing for the guys. You know, and it has nothing to do with ego. Just train.
You can train like every day, right?
I recommend people training for life, no matter what profession they're in. Like, it's just training in, and I know, listen, I'm definitely obviously very biased to a jiu-jitsu program. But like you were saying, like what we recommend kids or adults, like get in the gym, period. Just get in a gym, any gym. Huh. You're going to, if you're really into it, you're going to find jiu-jitsu. I probably, like, you know, even the best karate guys, you know, Chuck Norris, they all end up doing jiu-jitsu because they know that's the real deal stuff. So, you know, just get in the gym.
And even not doing it, maybe you try jiu-jitsu, it ain't for you. Do something. Don't fuck a racket, but do something that keeps you in shape. People tell me, it's like, oh, you're fucking 48 years old. You look like you're... Chris in the back, he calls me a vampire. He says, you age backwards. I say, yeah, I take care of myself. I train every day. I train, I eat right. You know, on the weekends, I drink, I eat what I want. During the week, I train, I take care of myself. We got one fucking body. That's it. Find something to do. Get yourself in shape, man. You ain't going to regret it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys coming in today.
Yeah,
awesome.
Good times, man. Definitely.
You guys were
awesome.
Good.
Thanks. Yeah.
We could do this again one day if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely.
I designed three new t-shirts, so you come and take more shit.
There you go. Nice. There you go. Awesome.
Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at streetcop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher, so you get two for the price of one. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out streetcop.com for that offer.